Be'ezer Hashem, new Masechta. Most of the Masechta talks about the avoda, the service on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash, when you had the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Right at the end of the Masechta, we talk about the halachas of Yom Kippur, eating, fasting, and other annoying other afflictions on Yom Kippur that apply today. This first Mishnah in Maseches Yuma starts Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom Kippurim Mafrish and Kohen Gadol Mebeisoi Belishkus Parhedrin. 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was separated from his house to the room of the Parhedrin. Another Kohen was prepared instead of him, under him, Shema Yarabob Saul, in case the first Kohen should become invalid. The very first Rashi in the Masechta says, why do we have to separate the Kohen Gadol? Rashi says, "Shekol Avodah Shem HaKippurim Eina Kshera Ela Boi." All the service on Yom Kippur was only fit to be done by the Kohen Gadol. That actually is, the Gemara says that on the Lamed Beis, Omed Beis, that's a Gemara, that all the service in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur had to be done only by the Kohen Gadol. We'll just make a quick observation here, although it's actually for later in the Masechta. We're going to see more about this, but we'll just note quickly that this is not so simple. What does it mean that everything had to be done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol? If we look on the first page of the Rif in the Masechta at the bottom, in the Hamor HaKotam, the Baal HaMor, the Baal HaMor makes an interesting observation. He says that the Balei HaKrovos, the piyutim that we say in Musaf on Yom Kippur, it says there that they made the paisas, the lotteries, the Kohanim made lotteries on Yom Kippur, who was going to perform different services. Well, that's problematic, because we said that it's only the Kohen Gadol that can do all the avodas on Yom Kippur. So therefore, how does it make sense to talk about lotteries between different Kohanim who was going to do what? It was a one-man show, so to speak, on Yom Kippur. It's only the Kohen Gadol that could do everything. So therefore, the Baal HaMor says a big chiddush, that in fact these piyutim, these poems that we say, are they're not correct. Because and the Baal HaMor says that the different lotteries, paisas, that the Mishnah mentions and the Gemara mentions in the second perek, in fact the Mishnah says on Daf Kof Beis Amud Aleph that there were four lotteries there. The Baal HaMor says these paisas took place all through the year, all the year round, but not on Yom Kippur. That's a big chiddush to say that all these Mishnayos in which seem to be talking about Yom Kippur do not in fact apply to Yom Kippur. They only apply to the rest of the year. So in fact the Milchanos, he disagrees with the Baal HaMor, and what he says basically is that there were some parts of the service which could be done by other Kohanim apart from the Kohen Gadol. For instance, the Trumas Hadeshin, removing the ashes from the Mizbeach, that was something that was done at night. It wasn't something that had to be done specifically in the day, therefore it's not considered as one of the avodas of Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur, and therefore it could be done by other Kohanim, and therefore there was these paisas to decide who would do it. And he gives another example, for instance, the removing the ashes from the menorah, from the candle, from the lamp, that this could be done by other Kohanim. There were certain parts of the service which could be done by other Kohanim, those parts which weren't the major parts. Okay, as I said, that's something we're going to see in more detail later in the Masechta. Okay, so the Mishnah, we saw in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says that we separated the Kohen Gadol to the Lishkas Parhedrin. He had to be there all 7 days before Yom Kippur. Well, this seems a problematic Mishnah in the light of a Gemara later on Mem Zayin on the Daleth. The Gemara talks there about the seven sons who were all Kohanim Gedolim that this very big Tzedekes Kimchis had. And one of the sons was Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. And the Gemara says there that Omru Olav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis Pam Achas Sipat Dvorim Mimar Avi Echad Veshuk. At one time, on one occasion, he spoke to an Arab in the market, V'nitzit Tzenorim Pival Begodov, and the spit of the Arab dripped onto the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, and he therefore became invalid, and his brother Yeshevav had to take his place, so he became the Kohen Gadol. So this there were two brothers were Kohen Gadol on the same day, so this Kimchis had two sons who had the merit to be Kohen Gadol on the same day. Rashi says, when did this all happen? Pam Acha says Rashi, Yom HaKippurim Hoya. This happened on Yom Kippur. The Masha over there says that Rashi is very surprising. It's very strange to say that on the holiest day in the year that the Kohen Gadol would go walking in the marketplace. Therefore, the Masha says actually that he quotes Yerushalmi that this all happened on Erev Yom Kippur. But at any rate, both according to Rashi and according to the Masha, this story about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis does not seem consistent with the first Mishnah in the Masechta that says that he had to be separated for 7 days to Lishkas Parhedrin. How could it be that the Kohen Gadol was walking around in the marketplace even on any of the 7 days? So what I think we can answer on the basis of what the Sfas Emes says, and also if you're on that base, that this what the Kohen Gadol had to be in the Lishkas Parhedrin for 7 days was actually something similar to what we have to have a mitzvah to live in the sukkah for 7 days. Teshvu ka'in saduru, we dwell in the sukkah in the way that we live all the year round. The sukkah is like our house all the year round. So that means that one is allowed to go out of the sukkah, to if you have to speak to somebody outside, you don't have to be in the sukkah for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we have a proof for this chiddush of the Sfas Emes, that what it means was that the house of the Kohen Gadol was not his private house all the year round. The house of the Kohen Gadol was the Lishkas Parhedrin, but it doesn't mean that he had to be in prison in that in the Lishkas Parhedrin for 7 days. In fact, there's a Gemara on the Yud Amud Beis that that people shouldn't say. We didn't want people to say that the Kohen Gadol was locked up in the prison for 7 days. Therefore, we have a riot to the Sfas Emes from the Gemara on with Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis that to go out of the Lishkas Parhedrin b'derech Arai temporarily, that was permitted even for the Kohen Gadol for the 7 days. Now the Mishnah continues. Umaskin lo kohen achatachta shema yarabo psul. We prepare another kohen in place of the Kohen Gadol in case he should become invalid. Rashi says, what does it mean? Maskinin lo umazminin kohen acha. We invite or we prepare another kohen, lihis kohen gadol tachtov, to be the Kohen Gadol in his place. Im yarabo psul keri, if he has keri or shar tumah, different tumah Hama'akvin Milovin Mikdush, that make him invalid to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Now, to try and understand a bit more about exactly what does this mean, we prepared the alternative, the substitute Kohen. The Tosfos Yontov here, Divrei Maskil Umaskinin, the Tosfos Yontov says that what do we do? Lahatskin no big day Zohov Kamidoso. We prepared for him the golden clothes, but according to the custom fit, the clothes that fit him properly. If the first Kohen Gadol should get invalid, then the second Kohen Gadol shouldn't have to wear the wrong size clothes of the first Kohen Gadol. No, he had his own set of clothes in case he had to step in place of the first one. Then the Tosfos Yontov also says, Lazhiro Lishma Atzma Batara, we warned the second Kohen that he has to make sure that he keeps pure. And then he says, V'dafka maskinin, we prepare him, avalohayim mafrishin, we did not have to separate him from 7 days, also into Lishkas Parahedrin. That far we didn't go with the second substitute Kohen. That was it was enough just to prepare him. It wasn't necessary to separate him. And the Tosfos Yontov quotes the Gemara later on Daf Gimel on base, Hafrosha lo ma'akva. Even if the Kohen Gadol was not separated 7 days before, this didn't prevent him from being the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It was a din lachat chila, but if you forgot to do it for some reason, he could still be the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the second one, if something would happen to the first one, the second one could still step in, even if he hadn't had this hafrosha. So, what actually we can be medayek, we can infer from the Tosfos Rishonim, is that the fact that we had to prepare him the clothes according to his size, according to his measurements, this would seem that it is ma'akiv, because it's what it seems from the Gemara later on, is that we only prepare in the first place the chachila things which are, if we don't do it, it's going to make the Kohen possible if we haven't done it. So therefore, the fact that we prepare clothes that fit the Kohen Gadol, that suggests that in fact if we didn't do that's ma'akiv. And in fact, the Rambam in Perek HaMikdash, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perek Ches Halacha Dalad, he says that if the clothes didn't fit the Kohen Gadol, his avoda was invalid even for the Eved. That fits in with the Tosfos Yeshonim. Let's just have a look at the Tosfos Rosh. This explains a little bit more what this idea of preparing the second Kohen, what did this involve exactly. He adds on that if the first one will get a psul, sheyishamish miyad tachtov, that he should immediately be there to take his place. Then he says the reason of the Tosfos Yontov, to prepare the clothes according to the size. The third reason that the Tosfos Yontov, the Tosfos Rosh gives, that because the first Kohen Gadol sees that there is a substitute who's ready immediately to take his place, so therefore he himself, the first one, is more careful not to become Tommy. So this seems a slightly psychological reason, that it's to an incentive to the first Kohen Gadol that he should be very careful not to become Tommy. And in fact, as we'll see later on, that this the source of the Tosfos Rosh is the Gemara later on in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that it's a more of a psychological sort of incentive to make sure that the first Kohen Gadol was very careful. I'd like just to go on to a slightly different question. Let's say like this. The Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that what the Mishnah says, we have the Rabbanan, the Tanakama says we don't have to prepare him an extra wife. Rabbi Yehuda says that we have to prepare an extra wife in case the first wife should die. We have a posuk that the Kohen God will have to have kapora for him and for his house means his wife. So this means, and in fact the Rabbanan also agree to this, that the Kohen Gadol must have a wife. Only what? They say we don't have to be concerned that the first wife might die, so therefore we don't have to prepare him a second wife. And Rabbi Huda says that we have to prepare a second wife. Then the Gemara explains if Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, if Rabbanan are worried about possible scenarios, i.e. they were concerned that he might become Tomei, which is only a possibility, but they were concerned about that possibility, so therefore why weren't they concerned that the first wife might die? So the Gemara answers, no. Tuma Shchicha, Misa Lo Shchicha. It's common, it's quite frequent that the Kohen Gadol might become Tomei. It's unusual that the wife should die, so something which is some unusual eventuality is not something we have to be concerned is going to happen, according to Rabbanan. Now, there's other possibilities. Right, so let's if we would ask the question, for instance, why are we not concerned that the Kohen Gadol himself might die? So according to Rabbanan, the answer is obvious, because again, we're not worried. It's, as we said, it's unusual that somebody would die. We don't have to be concerned that might happen. Let's ask another question. Why are we not concerned that the first Kohen Gadol, he won't die, but he might become so sick, so ill, that he can't do the avodah on Yom Kippur? Now we had in Psochim Daf Mem Vav on the base, we had the sugi that we learned not so long ago in Daf Yomi, the sugi about Hoyle. If somebody cooks on Yom Tov for a weekday, is he chayav for that? So there's an opinion there in the Gemara that he doesn't get Malkus. Why? Because we say Hoyle. It's possible that guests might come even late on Yom Tov afternoon, and therefore it would come out that the cooking that he did was not totally unnecessary. So we have this concept of Hoyle. Tosfos there, right at the end of Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis on Sofim, asks a question like this. If you say this idea of Hoyl, that you take account of these rather unusual circumstances, then nobody could ever be chayav for doing a malacha on Shabbos. Because any time that somebody did the malacha on Shabbos, they'll say, no, Hoyl, it's fit if there would be a dangerously ill person, so the cooking that the person cooked up on Shabbos, so this dangerously ill person requires the food that I'm cooking, so therefore nobody could ever be chayav misa for breaking Shabbos. So his answer is no. Chola sheyesh bo sakana, a dangerously ill person, that's very unusual, so we don't say Hoyle on an unusual scenario. So now we can understand why the Mishnah didn't say that the reason we have to make a substitute is because the first Kohen might become dangerously ill. Again, that's an unusual possibility, we're not concerned about such eventualities. But let's ask another question. What about if the Kohen Gadol, he didn't become dangerously ill, but he became a Cholosha Ein Bo Sakana on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur? And for that reason, he wouldn't be able to do the Avoda on Yom Kippur. Why not be concerned about that? Therefore, one sees from Tosfos and Psochim that a non-dangerously ill person, for instance, somebody who's confined to bed, that is not considered very unusual. It's only somebody who's dangerously ill that's considered unusual. Somebody who's not dangerously ill is a more common sort of occurrence. So why didn't we say that we have to have a substitute Kohen in case the first Kohen becomes sick? So what I think we have to say from here is that we see a halacha from here that if the Kohen Gadol, even if the Kohen Gadol is confined to bed because of sickness before Yom Kippur, the halacha is that he's chayev to get out of bed and do the avoda on Yom Kippur. The poskim, they talk about this is not our subject now, but that to do different mitzvahs, are you chayev to do it if as a result you're going to become ill as a result? Well, anyway, we do see that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol did have to become sick, not dangerously ill, but he did have to, or if he was in confined to bed, he was chayev to get out of bed and do the avoda on Yom Kippur. Actually, that's not really so surprising to say such a thing, because we see that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara on Daf Tes on the Dalek says that there were over 300 Kohanim in the second Beis HaMikdash. They, in the time of the Hellenist rule in Eretz Yisrael, these Kohanim, not necessarily the with the highest motives, they bought the privilege of being the Kohen Gadol, which was against the halacha, of course, but they paid for this privilege, and most of them didn't survive the year. They went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippur. They weren't worthy for this, and they died within a year as a punishment. So we see that there was a tremendous mysterious nefesh misplaced. Mysterious nefesh, but there was the people at that time were so eager to do the holiest job in the year on the holiest day, they were prepared to die for that. And we can also just make a very quick observation that let's say we have this ill Kohen who's before Yom Kippur, he's confined to bed, and we say that he has to get out of bed on Yom Kippur. Now the Kohen Gadol had to work very hard on Yom Kippur. He was working had to stay up all night. He wasn't allowed to go to sleep. And he had all the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. It was very possible, I would have thought, that if somebody started off unwell, that he was going to have to eat at some stage on Yom Kippur, so to make sure that he shouldn't come to a sakana. So this, again, this is another question which we're not going to try and answer now. So maybe in the course of the Masechta, maybe we'll see something about this. If a Kohen Gadol had to eat on Yom Kippur, was he kosher? Was he able to do the avoda on Yom Kippur? Did the fact that he had to eat for health reasons, in other words, for pekuch nefesh, did that make him invalid? And we have a suggestion from here that no, even though he had to eat on Yom Kippur, he still could carry on doing the Avodah. And this could also be possibly Nachkamina nowadays, if some is Chazan Yom Kippur, if he's sick, he has to eat, does that make him invalid? Okay, that's a question. Let's go ahead. The next question we're going to try and grapple with is the question is, if a Kohen, the Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol has to have a wife. Rabbi Yehuda says because of that we have to make a substitute wife. The Rabbanan, they don't go that far, but they do agree that he has to have a wife. Now the question is this a din lechachila, or is it even b'di'evid? If he, in other words, if he did not have a wife, does that mean that he would be that his whole, all the avoda would be posel, even b'di'evid? The Tosfos Yeshonim talks about this a bit. He says Shema Thomas Ishto. This is according to Rabbi Akiva. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Olasheni lo hay masaknin isha cheres delo ma'akot. So he says that we didn't make a second wife for the second Kohen, because the having a wife is not ma'akev, and as it seems to be fitting what we saw in the Gemara, he brought from the Gemara on Daf Gimel Beis, that something this is not ma'akev with the Avid, we don't have to worry about it in the first place. But then it says, "Umikol makom hacha barishon mitzvah manamufa be'ina." Now he answers another idea, that even so, Rabbi Yehuda says that even though if he didn't have a wife, the avodah would still be kosher, but nevertheless, we want the mitzvah manamufa that he should have a wife. Therefore, we take the precaution to prepare a second one. And then he says, "Va'afila ma'akva." Even if you say that it is ma'akev, since it does not have a wife, we're not worried that his second wife could go so far that his second wife might die. Even Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about that. So therefore we see that actually the Tosfos Yeshonim has got two svaras. Is it possible if he doesn't have a wife? It's not so clear. There seems to be two opinions mentioned in the Tosfos Yeshonim. The Rambam seems to say that it would be possible if he doesn't have a wife. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Shem Kippur, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, first of all he says that all the avodah on Yom Kippur has to be done by a married Kohen. And then there's another Rambam in Hilchos Klei Mikdash Perek Hei Halacha Yod, that he says if a Kohen married two wives, he can't work, he can't do the avodah on the fast day of Yom Kippur unless he divorces one of them. And this seems to say that, well, he says that he can't do the avodah, so that suggests more that it's the avodah would be possible. It's impossible to do it. It is ma'akev. And in fact, the Minchas Chinuch says that that if he doesn't have a wife, even by the Eved, the Avoda is possible. Now, as we've mentioned before, the Gemara, let's maybe see the Gemara inside on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that Reish Lakish wanted to say that he said to Rabbi Yochan, who learnt out that you needed 7 days to separate the Kohen, he learnt that from Meluim. So with the Meluim, and when they dedicated the Mishkan, so there everything that says there is Ma'akev. If you didn't do it, it would make it all possible. So therefore you should say, according to Rabbi Yochan, that everything on before Yom Kippur is also ma'akev. But Rav Shlaki says, but you can't say that because the Mishnah says that we only prepare him a Kohen, but we don't separate the Kohen. So we see that we only make a precaution in the first place for something which is ma'akib al-yabid. So again, now we have to understand, according to what the Tosfos Rishonim say, that we prepare her for him a wife, because it's a mitzvah min a mufcha. In fact, the Tosfos Rosh also says that we want to do a mitzvah min a mufcha. So how does that fit in with this Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis? To answer that question, we'll have to see again the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll have to learn a bit of the Gemara. The machlok is here between Rabbanan and between Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only worried that one wife is going to die, not two wives. And Rabbanan say no, if you're worried about that one will die, then you have to be worried that even two, there's no, you don't make a distinction between one and two. Then the Gemara asks, Rabbanan, neimru inhila nafshaihu. If Rabbanan say there's no difference between one and two, when we're talking about if the wife dying, therefore, why is it enough to prepare one substitute kohen? We should be concerned that the second kohen might also become possible. So the Gemara answers, Omri lach Rabbanan, Kohen Gadol Zorizu. The Rabbanan say, actually, the Kohen Gadol is very careful. Rashi says, he keeps away from Tumah. Yes. Misa, that we have no control over, whether the wife's going to die. But the Kohen Gadol is Zoriz, he keeps away from Tumah. So then the Gemara asks, so if he's Zoriz, so why do we have to prepare another Kohen? If he's so careful, he's never going to get tummy. So then the Gemara answers, Kivin da Abdin and Leit Zora, Kol Shkein de Mizdaris Tvei. So the Gemara says now a Chiddush, that because we make for him a substitute, so this makes him be even more careful. So the Gemara Sari here on the face of Madalaf says an interesting thing, and we saw it before in the Tosfos Rosh. The Gemara Sari says it a bit more clearly. Why do we prepare the second Kohen only kedei lahosiv zeros as the resos of the chud? We only did it to an additional incentive to make the Kohen Gadol even more careful. So therefore, what we're saying over here is that really the chances of the Kohen Gadol getting Tomei are very small. But we made a special deterrence because the Kohen Gadol sees that there's a substitute who's ready straight away that he might get Tomei. So he's especially careful, but it's really not necessary. It's just an extra incentive. So according to this, the Gvorasari says, the host of Zeroz al Tresusul of Chut, just as a very extra deterrence. Now we have to understand the one or two things in the Gemara and in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says we prepare a second Kohen Shema Yarabo Psul, it doesn't really mean that there's a high chance at all that he's going to become possible. But what it really means is to make sure. You could slightly change the meaning of the Mishnah. Not maybe that he's going to become possible, but to make sure that he doesn't get possible, to deter him, because to so he should feel, so to speak, that there's somebody breathing down his neck, and that it's going to make sure that the Kohen Gadol doesn't get possible. And also, you have to say that when the Gemara says that on Yudgimel Amud Aleph, that why are Rabbanim worried about the Kohen might become Tomei? Because Tumah is Shechicha, that it's common that the Kohen becomes Tomei. That doesn't really, that means that in a natural sense it's common. Death is not common naturally, so we're not conscious that the wife's going to die. If the Kohen Gadol wouldn't be very careful, Tumah, naturally speaking, would be Shechiach. Now that the Kohen Gadol is so careful, so therefore it's unusual that he's going to become Tomei. That's all with the Kohen Gadol becoming Tomei. Because it's really, then that's why it's enough to do the Maskinin, and we don't have to do the Hafrosha. Because really it's very unlikely indeed that the Kohen Gadol is going to get Tomei, so there's no real point in doing Hafrosha. On the other hand, it could be now that the wife dying is actually a bit more likely to happen, because again that's not under our control. The Kohen Gadol can't be careful about that, that's not under our control, so therefore we do take a precaution that the chila, we want the mitzvah menemuvcha, that she might, there's a reasonable possibility that she might die. We want to make sure that there's a mitzvah menemuvcha, even though it's not ma'ake, even if she did die, the avoda would still be kosher, would still be valid. According to this idea, I think we might be able to answer a question that the Achronim asked. They asked a stira between the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and between the first Mishnah in the Masechta. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes says the Sanya Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer Lama Skan Mumuno. That's one Gersa that Rashi quotes. Why is the scan the deputy Kohen Gadol? Why is he appointed? Shem Irabu Psul the Kohen Gadol Nichnas Scanamach Shamish Tachav. If the Kohen Gadol becomes invalid, then the scan comes in his place. The obvious question is that we say in the Mishnah that there seems to be a different Kohen who has exactly the same job or exactly the same reason that who is prepared. The Kohen, we prepare another Kohen in case the Kohen Gadol should become possible. So, and it doesn't seem likely to say that the scan is the same, exactly the same Kohen that we're talking about in our Mishnah, because the words are different, and also in fact the Rambam doesn't Rambam mentions all the around. The Rambam talks about the scan as the deputy, and on Yom Kippur he talks about another Kohen. They don't seem to be the same people. So how are we going to reconcile the Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph? The Dvor Sari, again over there on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, he says also a chiddush that our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Perek with the substitute Kohen, this was only necessary in a certain case where there wasn't a scan, that the scan had just died and we hadn't got round to appointing a new deputy. That's when the Mishnah says that we prepare another Kohen. Mm-hmm. Well, it's obvious it's a bit dochek, and in addition the Rambam, when he mentions in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Kippurim, the Rambam just says simply that we prepare another Kohen, and does not mention anything that it's only in a special case that we don't have a scan. So therefore, what I want to say to answer this theory is, on the basis of what we've seen, that the substitute Kohen on Erev Yom Kippur was really just an extra deterrence. So therefore, I want to suggest that this Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph is not actually talking on Yom Kippur. The reason being that, again, we said that the Kohen Gadol really is very careful not to become Tommy. But just as the Kurosari says, Lahosiv Ziras Al Trisoso, the Gemara says, Kol Shekhen Dimis Daris Tzoy, we want him to be even more careful, so therefore we prepare an alternative Kohen who pushes him along, who makes him be extra careful. Now, if we would only have the scan that we had all year round, that wouldn't do that job, because the Kohen Gadol was accustomed all year round. He has this deputy. He doesn't see anything special about Yom Kippur. Therefore, we made a special tikkun. We made a special substitute Kohen for Yom Kippur. He knows that there's somebody special who is threatening him. That makes the Kohen Gadol be very careful on the days before Yom Kippur not to become Tomei. So the Kohen Acher of our Mishnah on Daf Beis, that was for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, and the scan did a similar sort of job all year round. Now I'd like to go a bit further and ahead in the Gemara. Before we come to the end of the show, we'll say a short piece from the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Aleph from Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Minahani Mili, Rashi explains, how do we know, where do we derive it from, that we separate the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur? So the first opinion is we learn out from Kasha Osu B'Yom Azad, Tzilo Hashem Lassos, the Chafra Aleichem, La'asos, there's two psukim here. To do, that's the Maisa Parah. There we learn that we separate the Kohen 7 days before he burns the Parah Duma. La'chapar, Eilu Maisa Yom Kippurim. That's the special, the atonement of Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara asks, how do we know the Tziva, how do we know where to learn Tziva from? So the Gemara on Daf Beis on the base says, "Ve'emet tzivat tzivat yom kippurim." How do we know that we're talking at all about the preparing the Kohen for the Parah? Maybe the whole pasuk is talking about we prepare the Kohen only preparing the Kohen for Yom Kippur. Tosfos asks over there, if we only there's only one preparation, we're separating the Kohen to work on Yom Kippur, then Vim Toma Kolhani Cry Lamali Tziva Lasos Lechapa. Why do we need both Lasos and Lechapa, both to do that should be talking about Parah, and Lechapa we should talk about Yom Kippur? If we're saying that it only happened on Yom Kippur, then why do we need the two psukim, Lathos and Lachapa? The Rashash says an interesting terut on an interesting answer to Tosfos Kasha on the basis of the Medrash. The Medrash says that Aaron, he in fact could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim any time he wanted, not only Yom Kippur. He could do it all through the year, but on the condition that he had to be separated 7 days before this happened. So therefore, says the Rashash, so these, the two psukim, Lasos Lechapa, one is going to be talking about if Aaron, he wanted to do this all through the year, he could he could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The second Pasuk is talking about if he did this on Yom Kippur, he also, when every time he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he has to separate himself 7 days beforehand. So the Rasha says that when the Gemara says Tzivud Yom Kippurim, it doesn't mean only Yom Kippur. It means the Pasuk that said in connection with Yom Kippur, and it's also saying that Aaron can go into the Kodesh of Kodoshim all through the year round. Now the Medrash says an interesting thing. If not for the many schuyos, the many merits that went in with Aaron that helped him there, Aaron would not have been able to go into the Kodesh of Kodoshim. Why? Because the Malachi Ashtoris there were there. The Malachim in the Kodesh of Kodoshim, and if not for the special protection that Aaron had from all his mitzvahs, the Malachim would have damaged him inside the Kodesh of Kodoshim. Now we'll see an interesting observation. We'll finish with the shiur with a bit of Divrei Agadata. The Gemara says in Menachos Kuf Tes Amud Beis, and the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, he said to everyone, this year I'm going to die. They asked him, how does he know that he's not going to survive to the end of the year? Because he says that every Yom Kippur an elder went in, whenever I went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, an elder dressed in white went in, and he went out with me from the Kodesh Kodoshim. This year it was an elder dressed in black clothing that came into me, and he didn't come out, he stayed in. Tosfos there says that the question that it says that in the Torah that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, nobody is allowed to be there with him into nobody, even the Malachim, call Odom, any man, even the Malachim whose faces, the image of the faces is like the face of a person, they're also not allowed to be there. So we see that on Yom Kippur, even the Malachim are not allowed to be in the Kodesh Kodoshim. It's only the Kohen Gadol. And Tosfos answers that maybe, in fact, this elder that went in with Shimon HaTzadik, it actually was the Shechina itself, so to speak, that went in to the Kodesh Kodoshim with Shimon HaTzadik. But so we see an interesting thing from the Tosfos that was what was special about Yom Kippur. When Aaron and Cohen went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim all year round, there were Malachim there, and it seems it was more dangerous. We had to have a lot of schuyas to survive this entry. On Yom Kippur there was a special promise that even the Malachim did not have permission to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was only the special Madrega of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, only he was allowed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Even the Malachim were not allowed in. And I've got to conclude, the Sefer Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, he quotes another Medrash that says even more than this, that the Medrash asks, what does it mean that no man will be in the Oyel Moed when the Kohen Gadol goes in? What about the Kohen Gadol himself? The Kohen Gadol himself is also a man. So what do you mean? He was there at least. So the Medrash answers that no. That when on the Madrega of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Madrega he reached, Ruach HaKodesh was shorah in him, his face was burning like the torches with fire. That was the Madrega of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he wasn't a man, he became at that time like a malach on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. the holiest place in the world and the holiest day in the earth.